Last week, we spoke about running the race. This week, I want to continue on that theme. I want to talk more about the fact of finishing well. And for the benefit of each one of you, some of you weren't here last week, and those of you that were, you might just refresh your, we'll refresh your memory a little bit. But I'd started out with making a statement about policemen, EMS, volunteers, National Guard, and so on and so on, all types of people being there at this one certain event. And for those of you that weren't here, the others did not have the privilege of looking on the screen and seeing the title. There was nothing on the screen at that point. And so my question was, what was going on? And no one gave the answer that I wanted. What the answer that I wanted was, there was a race fixing to be. But automatically our minds went to disasters, natural disasters, just bad happenings, accidents, and so on. And part of my point on that was is that we can come to conclusions on certain things so many times. It doesn't mean that that's the way it is. It just means that we have come to a conclusion in our mind and in our opinion. But this morning, what we want to stress that is important is that I personally, you personally, make it a point to finish well. Running this race that you have set out to run, in this path that you are going down called life, you have multitudes of people beside you also going down this same path. They're running this race. There's some of the people that are with you that they're headed the same direction as we go down life. The analogy I made in the running the race was each one of these people that we were in the corral with, for sure, they were all headed the same direction. We were all headed the same direction. If we had seen someone going the other way, and it would have messed everyone up, but would have told us that something is wrong. That person is misguided, misdirected, or is trying to find an escape route. But as we live our life, brothers and sisters, running this race that we're on, this race called salvation, this race called making it to heaven, we want to look at some of the different things this morning of what it takes and what I can do to help you and what you can do to help your brother, what you can do to help your sister to run ahead and to finish well in this race that we're going as believers, that we want to finish well. We want to hear those words of Jesus saying, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." And there's a passage in Micah, and we won't even look at that, but it's in Micah 6:8, and it says something to the effect of what does the Lord require of thee? What does the Lord require of you? And there's three things. It says that you are to love and to walk humbly, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Thank you. I had that thing in my mind, but I didn't have it written down. But that is what God requires of each one of you. That you're just, that you love God, and that you walk in a humble way as you live out your life. What everyone else does not matter in that sense. All that matters is that you make sure that you are living out your life the way God has called you to. And I'm not saying that to say that we are individualists, but I am saying that God has called each one of us to a different calling in life. We're at different levels, we're at different stages in our life. And as you recall last week, there was 40,000 people who started this race that we have the pictures of up here showing the finish line. 40,000 people were registered to run this race. And the final figures were that 5,310 people did not finish that race for whatever reason. I'm sure there were some of those that didn't even show up for the race for whatever reason. There were some of those that showed up for the race, but for some reason did not finish. But we do know by the numbers that 5,310 people did not finish. And brothers and sisters, as we consider that analogy of us running the race to make it to heaven, that as we're going on this race and we have those alongside of us that are also running that race, they're also on the way to heaven. To have any kind of casualties that we'd get to heaven and somehow realize that there's some that were on the course but for some reason didn't make it. And this morning I'm going to look at the things of what can I do, what can you do to help to avoid the number of people that are not going to make it. Those that fall out of the race. What can I do to keep urging on those that are in this race with me? Last week, we talked about looking at four different aspects. And this morning, I want to look at the last two. But the four different aspects, what we were looking at was the anticipation, the preparation, the participation, and the destination. And this morning, I want to talk more about the participation and our destination. But as we considered running this race, there were several things, again, that we did to prepare for it way months ahead. But then, even the day before, we got to bed, and the next morning we got up early. We got there in ample time in order to catch the bus. We got to where the race starts in ample time. It was a cool morning, as I recall, when this in April, when we were there. It was kind of windy. So to go out there with just what you were going to wear to run in, you were going to be cold for 3 hours. So lots of people had coats and sweatshirts and so on and so on, wearing them things. And they were already at the point to where they were going to start the race. But as this race started, I thought there was something that was really interesting. We started this race, and we were behind fences, literally. There was fences lining the street to where we could not get out. But more so, it wasn't that we couldn't get out. It was so others couldn't get in. It was so others would know that this is only for certain people. Those who have signed up to run are the ones who are allowed in between these two fences. But as we went on down this at the start of the race, because we kept getting released in stages, but the race started on further down. But as we got to the closer and closer to the start point, all of a sudden, as I kept looking alongside the fence, hanging up on the fences, there was coats and jackets and sweatpants and more coats and more jackets and sweatpants and shirts and all kinds, and as we got closer to the start point, more and more articles of clothing became apparent that were hanging on the fences. So what this was telling me, that these people had these clothes on, but they were willing to shed them. I looked and it was like, hey, this is some pretty good stuff here. I mean, some of them were really nice name brand articles of clothing. But these people who abandoned these clothes, they knew that they would never to see these clothes again. They knew that once they hung that clothes, that piece of cloth on the fence, or they laid it on the ground there, they were not going to see it again. But they were willing to give that up for what they were anticipating to start. And that was to run this race to make sure that I'm not going to have anything, because, well, I didn't see anyone, as I recall, walking and running along and having their coat draped over their shoulder or under their arm or having a big satchel that they were carrying along. Any excess baggage. We did everything we could to make ourselves as light as possible, to not carry any excess. We were not going to allow anything to slow us down. There was also, as we were in this crowd of people, you know, oftentimes I don't like crowds. And many of you are like that, I know. You don't like crowds. But here, I was in a crowd of people. But there was several things that I could talk about to any one of these people, and I know that I could get some good conversation going because I knew what they were fixing to do. They were in a race, and they were anticipating what they were going to be experiencing here in just the next little bit. And so we were all comrades. We were all in this thing together. There was a bond of closeness to someone who I'd never even met in my whole entire life. I've just seen them 5 seconds before, and I felt a part of that person. Was it shallow? Yeah, it was shallow. But I still felt a camaraderie with everyone that was with me in there. In Hebrews chapter 12, just one verse that talks about the therefore, and it refers back to chapter 11, where we know as the heroes of faith. But it says in Hebrews chapter 12, that therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. So even in Hebrews, he talks about this race that we're running, and that we're going to take off anything that's going to slow us down. We're going to put on anything that we can think of that's going to help speed us up, but to still be lawful. The joy, as we were anticipating, the joy that we had, the ultimate goal was the destination. The ultimate goal was to cross over underneath that banner that said finish. But I'm also going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that the joy that we look forward to was also in the journey. Even in the journey, as you travel along life's highway, you face hardships, you face trials, you face times when you're pushed down, when you're discouraged, when you think no one cares. But in your life, as you journey, there will be joys. And I think so often we look at heaven as being this great, marvelous, wonderful place, and it is, and it will be. But brothers and sisters, if we have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in us and flowing through us, there also is going to be joy in our journey. There's even going to be joy when we're in that valley. Even joy in the midst of sorrow, which is something that the world will never understand. But there is joy even as we're running, even as we're struggling, even as we're panting, even as our knees are about to give out, even as we think we just about can't go another step. We are not running aimlessly, as we'll later look on what Paul was saying. So my question this morning is, how can we, as God's people, impact our culture in this race that we're running? How can we be an impact to those around us without those around us impacting us in a negative way? And I think so often, or too many times, we think that if we shelter ourselves, if we remove ourselves, and there's different groups that have done that, but that has proven to not be a plan. But how can we impact our culture without our culture impacting us? Because, brothers and sisters, we have to admit it. We are in this world. We are surrounded by people all around us in this world. But how can we continue unashamedly to live our lives for Jesus Christ to the fullest without looking to the right or to the left as to what someone else is doing, but that only I know that this is what God has called me to? I was actually going to put some pictures up of me being at the finish line. But as I looked on the email at the pictures, I was like, no, I can't do this. I would have to probably do some highlighting on another person that was beside me that wasn't dressed very modestly at all. But I'm here to tell you that as I was running this race, as I had no idea, there was like 3 or 4 pictures that the same person was like right here. And as I was in that race, I had no idea that that person was there. Only when I looked back on the pictures later, I seen this. And I think that we can, brothers and sisters, in our life, be so focused on Jesus Christ that the distractions on the side of us, they don't distract us because we're focused. And you can help your brother. You can help your sister in running that race to help avoid those distractions too, and to help them to finish well. We want to look at 1 Corinthians 9. Look at several verses. I'm not sure if we'll read all of this. Maybe I will. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 27. I'm going to read to about verse 22, then I'll stop, and then I think Sherilyn is going to share just a little bit for us in regards to some of this, what I want to talk about this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 says, "Though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Although I myself am not under the law, but it's so as to win those that are under the law. Those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Although I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law." Paul here was saying, I want to do anything and I will do anything I need to, as long as I don't violate Christ's law, to help someone alongside me finish well. Verse 22 says, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all means possible I might save some." No matter what, Paul was determined that he would do whatever, whether it was running alongside someone or whatever. Sherilyn, will you share just a little bit with us?
Yeah, I had done a marathon about 6 years ago, and the last 2 miles of the marathon, a man came up beside me, and he was he had done numerous marathons before, and we were talking, and he found out that this was my first one that I had done, and he was just encouraging me to keep running, and just the whole 2 miles he ran right beside me, encouraging me and just telling me I can do it and keep going. And then we got to the finish line, and he was more of a stronger runner than I was, but he let me cross over before he did. And that just really impacted me that he would do that for me, and just the encouragement that he was in the last 2 miles, because you know the ending is in sight, but just having that person there encouraging you as you go meant a lot.
Thank you. Running the race and finishing well. This man that she was talking about, this was a 50K, so it would be like a 26.2-mile race. That's a long time. I've talked to different ones who've run in those, and they say at about the 18 to 20-mile mark, you become delirious, and all kinds of emotions go through your body. But then also, at a certain point, something else kicks in your body, and you can actually pick up the speed. But what are you doing to help your brother and your sister to come alongside them to finish well, even to the point to where that person would beat you? That person would beat you to the finish line. And last week I alluded to that too. Are you okay with it? Are you okay with someone else even going ahead of you? Are you okay with someone even taking advantage of you, as it were, as it feels? Because so often, in our own flesh, it does not feel good if we think someone is taking advantage of us. But how many times could you take and you could actually put some in front of you? Maybe someone that you know is going to take advantage of you anyhow. But if you go ahead and take the prerogative and do it, and put that person at an advantage in front of you, in order so that they could finish well, that running alongside of each other is so important, because there is strength when I know that there's someone right there saying, you can do it. And we experienced that also in the last mile or so of this race that I was talking about. There was those along the sidelines who never seen me before, but they kept saying, it's around the next curve, you can do it, keep it up, keep on going, don't quit now. That's what we can do as brothers and sisters. So Paul goes on to say in verse 23 in Corinthians, he says, I do all of this for the sake of the gospel. And I think if we could say in one nutshell this morning, what our goal is in life is that all things that we do for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we do that, it's going to include this, what I'm talking about this morning, in the finishing well and taking those with us, and taking as many of those with us that we can. Verse 24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not become disqualified for the prize. Do you have a plan this morning, brothers and sisters, for your life? Do you have a plan that you can look at and say, this is how and this is what I'm going to do to make sure that I finish the race? We need to determine beforehand that we will, not on our own, but we will, by God's grace and His help, we will finish this race. We will not allow anything, no matter what temptation comes my way, no matter how tempting a temptation would be, we will not allow that to come into my way and to detract me and to hinder me from finishing my race. It says, we don't run aimlessly, but we have a plan. That was Paul. Everything he did, it was for a certain purpose and for a certain reason. Galatians 5, verse 1 and then verses 5 through 15, there's several verses I want to see there. He says in verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And in Galatians, we often look at that as being a book that says, hey, you have become a believer. You have allowed Christ to come into your life. Don't be adding all these rules and regulations and these things that hold you down. But this morning I'd like to look at it a little bit different, and I think we can do that and still be honoring God's Word and be true to God's Word. He says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and so we're to stand firm and do not let yourselves be yoked. Or King James says yoke, but NIV says, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Verse 5 says, for by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Verse 7 is the verse I want to look at. It says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? He says, who did you allow to detract you? And brothers and sisters, this morning, as I think about that we're running this race, there are many people out there who are not in this race. Those are not really people that we can... Literally, we don't have to concern ourselves a whole lot with those people that they're going to detract us. As a general rule, that's not the problem. Usually the problem comes in with others who are in or say they are in this same race that we're running, making it to our heavenly goal. But so often, brothers and sisters, we turn aside and we look, we say, well, that person is on the same path that I am. That person has got the same goal in mind that I have, trying to reach the same thing that I'm trying to reach. And they're not doing some of the things that I'm doing. So that must mean that I could be a Christian and I wouldn't have to do all these other things. And I'd like to suggest that each one of us have been called to different areas. We're at different, and even at different stages in our life. Even the home that you grew up in, the culture of the place you grew up in, the denomination that you grew up in, do you think it just so happened that you grew up in the place that you did, that God really just didn't have a whole lot of forethought in that, and it just happened that you grew up in the family you grew up in the church that you grew up in? I don't think so. I think God had a specific purpose for each one of us. And so along with that purpose also comes a responsibility for each one of us. Verse 7 again says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? And this morning I'd like to ask the question, who is that person or persons that is cutting in on you, that is cutting in front of you and is causing you to trip? And I don't believe that this is going to be a person that's an unbeliever. I believe that this can very much be a person that is another believer. that could cause you to stumble. Because maybe they don't do like you do. And it raises questions in your mind. Well, I want to go to a couple verses in Galatians 4, and we don't even have those up on the screen, but I do want to read them. Galatians 4, verse 1, it talks about those people that are heirs, that a child that becomes an heir to a huge inheritance, they are an heir, although they don't have their hands on the inheritance at that point. But it says that child is subject to guardians until the time is set by the father. And this would be in a case maybe where the father passed away and the mother both passed away, but they had it in their will that when this child reaches, say, 18 years old, that they would get a certain amount of this inheritance and they have to do this and this and this with that inheritance. But it goes back. It is still theirs. It is still that child's. It is guaranteed that that child will receive that inheritance. In verse 3, he says, "So also, when you were children, you were under slavery, under the basic principles of the world." So we, as unbelievers, before we come to Christ, for sure, we are slaves to the world, to the ugliness and to the mess that the world has to offer. We were a part of that. But I think even as there are those that get saved and they come out of the world into the kingdom of light, but there's still that baggage that they have hanging on to them. Are they saved? Are they not? Very much so. We looked in Ephesians last week. In Ephesians 4 it says that you no longer be as infants that are tossed. And he was talking to the believers. And a believer who was an infant was not a full-grown Christian. But they were still believers. They were still in the household of faith. So we as children, when we're young, and here he talks about children who are under slavery, and they came out of that slavery, but there's still baggage there. And for you, it could be that you don't have some of that baggage. And I think you should thank God for it and revel in the fact that it's okay, that you don't have to do like them. You can rejoice in the fact that you don't have to carry some of these loads that some of these other people have to carry because of where they came out of. And then verse 9 in that same chapter says, "But now that you know God, or rather that you are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" And again, this is often taken that we become children of God and we become into the kingdom of light, but then we take and add on all these rules and laws into our lives that burden us down. That's often where Galatians is taken to. But I would like to present to you this morning that even what he's saying here, it says, "How are you turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them again?" Is it at times that we look at other believers and we say, "Well, they can do that and still be a Christian and they're on the way to heaven. I mean, I know they're saved. Why do I have to conduct my life in such a way?" I'm asking you this morning, can you be okay with what God has asked you to do according to what His Word teaches? And I would add into what you've been taught that His Word teaches. And that as you go to the Word, not just what you've been taught that His Word teaches, but as you go to the Word, that you can look and you say, "Ah, that is in there. He really did say that. It's not just something that I thought." And can you do that without being tempted or influenced by those around you to maybe let go of some of the things that the world would esteem highly, and that we can say, "No, I don't need to judge those people out there. They say they're believers, and I trust what they say, but I don't have to become like them because God has called me to a different calling, to a different place in my life." And you know, brothers and sisters, again, I said, it's not the unbelievers that are causing us these problems so often, but it's those that are believers. And it's not so much even believers that are in the world around us as such, in the large world around us, but it's those believers who are my fellow co-workers. It is those believers that are even my fellow family members. Can we be okay with knowing that the Bible does say thus and thus, and we're going to practice it without even passing judgment on the other person, but also without caving in, without giving in to what these other believers are doing or what they have ceased from doing? But that we know that the Bible says thus and thus, and that is where we're willing to stand, and that's where we're going to stand. Can we be free to do that, even without apology? To be courageous, to be bold. And brothers and sisters, I'd like to present to you that so many times when we have these things that we hold on to that are in Scripture, but that so many times we could be tempted to say, well, what's the value of it? I don't really see that I need that to be a Christian. I don't see that it's a big deal. I would ask you the question, if you allow yourself to do away, to let go of some of these things, are you willing to accept the loss that potentially will come from that? Could you look far enough ahead into your life? And you can't, but can you look far enough ahead into the lives of someone else that maybe was on the same path that you were? And you can look at and see what happened to their life 10, 15, 20 years later. And that they look back and say, oh my, the regret. Did they lose their salvation? Let's say they didn't. Let's say they're still saved. But what has happened maybe to their children? What has happened to their heritage? And a heritage will not save you except the heritage of Jesus Christ and allowing Him to reign and rule in our life. But God did not put you in any kind of home setting just by mistake or just by accident. We do have a goodly heritage. Let's not cast that away just because we have that freedom in Christ. And in John 21, verses 14 through 22, and again, I won't read near all those because we're running out of time, but this was after Jesus was risen. And they had been sitting there and eating and dining together. And as we know, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And then Jesus went on and talked to Peter, and he asked him three times, if you really love me. And I think it kind of hurt Peter's feelings. You know, Peter, like, what is the deal? I mean, Jesus, he knows all things, and yet he's asking me these questions. Let's look down in verse 18. This is after Jesus had told him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, he says, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, and he's talking to Peter, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted, but now when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will have to dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would face that would glorify God. Then he said to him, these are important words. Two words that Jesus told Peter. He said, follow me. And in a nutshell, that's all that Peter needed to know. And in a nutshell, brothers and sisters, that's all you need to know. Did Jesus tell you to follow me? If you know that Jesus told you that, then all you need to do is to follow Him. And where are you going to get your directions from? It's going to be from His Word. It's going to be from those around you, those in your church body. But I thought it was really interesting what Peter said. It says, verse 20, Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And he then parenthesis, this is the one who'd leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? John was a close disciple of Jesus. And I think this concerned him before Jesus' death. John was asked, who would be one that would do such a thing? That's who he was talking about. So when this man called John came along, Peter looked and says, Lord, what about him? And talk about John. Because I think Peter was concerned with what Jesus had told him about predicting, and you know, if Jesus said it, it was going to happen. But he predicted the kind of death that Peter was going to face. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Then he goes back to his original statement. You must follow me. Brothers and sisters, as you run this race in life, there are those that don't follow the biblical principles that you have looked at and you know the Bible teaches. It will raise questions in your mind. It will say, well, how can they be a Christian? And if they can be a Christian and not do these things, why do I have to do these things in order to be a Christian? I think Jesus would come back and say, what is that to you? Follow me. What is that to you? Follow me. All you need to know is that Jesus gave you a mandate, and that was to follow him, and follow him in the way that you know is truth, which is his word, and also make no mistake in the way of the path of life that you have grown from and that you've grown up through. Does that mean we always stay at the same place just because of how we were raised? No. What is that to you? Jesus said, follow me. Be very sure that what you do, there might be times in life that you do some things that might even cause questions in other people's lives. Say, why is she doing that? Why is he doing that? But if you can honestly go back and say, it is because Jesus said, follow me. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm not doing this. That's why I'm performing my life and living out my life in such a way, because Jesus said, follow me. And there's times that people will question you. But if you can honestly say that because of the mandate of Jesus on your life says, follow me, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to hide. Brothers and sisters, how can we impact our culture without our culture impacting us? And just quickly, we want to look at our destination, the finish line, the rewards, the accomplishments, the exhilaration of finishing and of finishing well. You know, last week I talked about those that finished in the top 10. If they'd have finished where I finished, they would have not finished well. They should have been embarrassed of themselves. But where I finished, if I would have finished back in 39,000th place, I should have been embarrassed at myself because I can do better than that. But God has called us to different places and he said, follow me, do your best. And in Philippians 2, Paul says in verse 15, but verse 14 talks about not complaining and arguing in whatever we do, but verse 15 he says, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God. Blameless and pure children of God. So again, he's alluding to the fact that there could be this person over here, there could be this person here, that they are children of God, but they're not blameless and totally pure. But what is that to you? Do you want to fall into that category too? Jesus said, follow me. But the reason we do what we do is so that we can become blameless, so that we can become pure. Children of God, in a crooked, depraved generation in which you shine like stars in a universe, as you hold out the word of life, it is not just good enough, brothers and sisters, just to decide to run this race. But as you hold out the word of life, by the way that you live, by the way that you conduct yourself, by the word that you speak to others, by the testimony that you leave with the conduct that you have, that's holding out the word of life. It's shining like a starry night when it's pitch black, but the stars are out bright. Isn't that a beautiful sight? That's what we are. We are those stars that are shining out in the midst of darkness. As you hold out the word of life in order so that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. Paul is saying this, that I don't want what I've done to fall to the ground and just be useless. I want what I've done, my brothers and my sisters, to have had positive effect. And I think each one of us, we don't want to get to the end of our life and look back and say, you know what? And maybe even made it to heaven. But how worthless and how useless was my life as I conducted myself here on this earth? How many more people could I have taken with me if I'd have been willing to just come over and alongside of them and continue to run with them to the finish? Brothers and sisters, we need to continue to urge and to encourage each other, to continue to build each other up. Husbands to your wives, wives to your husbands, and dads to your children, friend to friend. In times like these, in times like we're living in, we need each other. More than ever, Satan is coming in and he's deceiving so many people. And you will not know it when you're deceived, because you're deceived. But let's compare what I do, and let's compare why I do what I do on His holy word, so that we can run the race. We can hit that banner and we can cross that finish line in style, as it were. That where we can look back and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course and I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, a crown that will never, ever, ever fade away. Can we commit ourselves to that this morning, brothers and sisters, to be faithful, to run that race, to take those along with us that God has placed in our lives? And in closing, Thursday night, I dream a lot, but I wake up and my dreams don't make a lot of sense. But Thursday night, I dreamt that Christ came back. And I woke up and it was so real. But I remember as I dreamt, it was so glorious, because I felt myself just rising. And there were people around me. We were just rising. And I was like, it's really happening. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is really coming back for me. But what about those, when that happens, are not going to be ready? I just never had a dream that was that glorious and that felt that exhilarating, of just my feet leaving the ground and just the pure joy of knowing. I knew what it was. I knew that it was Jesus coming back and He was taking us, and this life as we know it is over. Are you willing to finish the race? Are you willing to finish well, laying aside anything that would hinder you? Let's continue to urge each other on, brothers and sisters. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, it is indeed with great joy and gratitude, humble hearts. There's so many words we could use, God, for the fact of knowing that You are going to come back for us, and that we want to live out our life, and we want to finish well this race that we started. God, would You help each one of us as we leave from this place today, as we go out and we face all the people around us, that we would speak out Your word. We would come alongside of those that are struggling, and we could grab them by the arm, and we could carry them on so that they could also have a good finish. Use this message for Your honor and glory. Dismiss us from here, God. Help us to do Your will in everything that we do and the way we live. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.